I get the privilege of reading scripture this morning, and I love the way Hannah put it last week. Would you stand for the reading from the book which we love? This is from Malachi 3:1-4. See, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness, and the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord, as in the days gone by, as in former years. You can be seated.
Before we begin, I was just informed that Rich Chart, our resident director for the men's dorm, the dorm papa, is going in for surgery on Thursday. And hopefully it is a minor procedure that will only take him out of commission for a day or so. But of course, any surgery is a call for prayer. And so will you join me in a word of prayer for him? Heavenly Father, I pray the hand of blessing on Rich. I pray that you guide the mind and the hands of the doctors, the service of the nurses. Lord, I pray that the best medical technology can be brought to bear, and that you would put your hand of healing not only through the medical apparatus, but through your Holy Spirit. Be with them during this time, in Jesus' name, amen. We are blessed to have our speaker today, Marcus Gonzalez. Marcus is the pastor of First Christian Church in Larned, Kansas. And will you join me in a word of prayer for him? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, and I ask your blessing on this time. Be with us all, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's welcome Pastor Marcus.
Thank you. I am going to move this up here so that you could see me. I've probably been blessed with a lot of skills and talents, but height is not one of them. So for the sake of everyone being able to see me today, I'm going to move up here. Well, happy Groundhog's Day. Did anyone get that memo? No? Well, it is Groundhog's Day. Yes, he did see his shadow, so what does that mean for us? Well, that he saw his shadow. I know that he's a groundhog, not a meteorologist, so let's pray that that we do have only 6 more weeks of spring, or until spring. But anyways, I thought that was pretty interesting. I was listening to the radio coming into town, and I heard that, and I had forgotten, too. So before we dig in, I wanted to share a little story with you, and we'll go ahead and open up into Scripture, and I'll get into the title of this message. And it's the first message of 4, and it's titled Reviving Truth. So, I was reading the other day and came across this story. There was a father who was getting ready for church, and he went to go wake up his son and said, "Hey, you know, it's time to get up. We have church in 30 minutes. We have to get there." And his son reluctantly said, "I'm not going today." And he goes, "What do you mean you're not going?" He says, "Do you realize whose house you're living in?" How many of us have heard that before? I know I have numerous times. And he goes, "I'm not going." And he goes, "You need to get up and we're going." And the son says, "Well, give me 2 good reasons why." So the father was thinking to himself, 2 good reasons, okay. And then he responds back by saying, "Well, first of all, you're 42 years old. And second of all, you're the pastor." So found that very interesting, and it really sets the tone for today's message, reviving truth. Reviving truth is something that we all understand needs to happen on a regular basis. And today's scripture, we're going to be talking about Joshua. Joshua 1:1-9 is going to be the passage, but the title of this message is A Joshua Generation. Now, statistically, I was looking up some information, and do you realize that there are over 4,000 new churches beginning each year and 7,000 churches closing? Now, these are statistics provided by Fuller Institute. And the next alarming one is that over 3,500 people a day left the church last year. That's pretty interesting. So, what's going on? Now, my message gets into a few different details, but the main focus of this is that, you know, the church is moving in a direction where we have no passion anymore and no zeal for the Lord, and we're lacking for the hunger and thirst of righteousness. If you go to any church nowadays, you have a great worship, you have a great message, and you go about your day. But the message that I want to bring today is, we need to become a Joshua generation. And I'm going to read scripture, and then we'll get into what exactly that entails. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Joshua 1, and we'll read verses 1 through 9. Verse 1 says, After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over the Jordan, you and all the people, to a land which I will be giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that your soul steps foot and treads upon, I will give you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness to the Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall I give you as your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life as I was with Moses. So I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for to this people shall drive as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not return from them, and do not turn your right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then will you make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and be of good courage? Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, that's a lot. It's a lot to understand. And the main focal point and the main thing going on here really stems down to obedience. So let's take it back for a minute. So Moses took the Israelites out of bondage, okay, which was Egypt, into the wilderness. Joshua took the people from the wilderness into the promised land. Now, There's a few key things in that. One, Joshua saw that they were wandering in the wilderness, and they weren't pressing forward. His generation was desiring more. His generation was thinking, this surely cannot be it. This cannot be life. There has to be something greater than this. So with that open heart and that spirit, the Lord spoke to Joshua and gave him this message. How many of us today would sit here and say, if God gave me that exact same message, I would say, yes, Lord, and let's do it? Probably a slim few. Especially when you feel inadequate in the way that your maturity doesn't feel like you meet the job. But see, Moses and Joshua had a heart after the Lord. They knew that if they were obedient to what the Lord said, that God would take care of them. So the first point was that they were obedient. Now, God gives Joshua a few different things to accomplish, and he really gives him a couple of commands in the scripture, and that is why he became so successful in moving the Israelites from the wilderness into the promised land. So if we take a look at verse 6, okay? The first command was to be strong and of good courage. He repeats that three times in verse 6, in verse 7, and in verse 9. Be strong and of good courage. Anything that the Lord asks you to do typically is going to take some effort on your part. He's not going to put it in front of you and say, all right, there you go, and us say, wow, that was easy. There are few occasions, but in my experience in ministry, it usually takes the effort on my part to actually do something and to get something accomplished. So this first command was really telling Joshua that, you know what, it's not going to be easy, but be strong in it and be courageous. The second command in there, in verse 7, he says, observe to do all the law. Doing all the law. The law that he is setting, or he is stating, is the law of Moses, which we know is the first five books of the Bible. So he's saying, adhere to my word. Use that, because those are things that I want to give to you to be able to use towards this goal. Third thing, do not turn from it. In verse 7, it also continues on. It says, do not turn from it. So what he's saying is, stay firm on my word. Stay firm in me. The fourth thing, it says, this book, verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. Again, he's hitting home as to what it is that the Lord truly wants and how to, he's giving him the tools to equip him for the journey that he's about to take. Verse 9, he says, be not afraid. And in verse 9, he also continues and says, neither be dismayed or discouraged. Those are two things that the enemy will try to do once you start to move in a way that God has called you to do. He wants to get you off track. He wants to derail you. And so the Lord is speaking to him, giving him the opportunity to understand that these are certain things that I want to give you and commands. And if you adhere to this, know that there are rewards. Verse Joshua only wanted to be obedient to God and please him. That is much of what we need to do today. Question I have is, how many of you are passionate about the ministry that and the education that you are receiving right now? How many of you know that once you're done here, there's a greater purpose for you outside this community? How many of you understand that there are people hurting today that need to be reached? And each and every one of us have the capability and the knowledge to be able to bring and minister the word to them. That's each and every one of us. Why? Because God's put a spirit in us that thrives to please him and to want to take this next generation in a way that is on fire and ready to do the work of God. By any means, it is not going to be easy, but much like Joshua, he overcame, right? If you don't know the story about Joshua, later on he goes on to take the Israelites across the Jordan River, then he conquers Jericho, and then he takes them into the Promised Land. Along the way, what does he do? He puts God first. He gives God the glory. He opens up his ears to hear from him and to understand that God is the only source that could truly get him through this difficult task. Those who seek him passionately are willing to be obedient to his voice. We want to be passionate. We want to save souls. Now, let's take this forward a little bit. Jesus came. Jesus had disciples. He mentored the disciples. He showed them what it looked like to love. He showed them what it looked like to walk in righteousness and holiness. The disciples probably didn't understand fully until his death that they were the ones that were going to take the initiative in spreading the gospel. But that's ultimately what Jesus was preparing them for. And as we know, the gospel got spread. Lives were changed. This next generation coming up has to be on fire for God. Because we are being passed the baton in the race. And we have to do this with zeal and with joy. Psalms 40, verses 8 says, I take joy in doing your will, my God, for your instructions are written on my heart. I'm standing up here telling you that I tried to leave ministry 3 times. When I was younger, I started off ministry probably about 2005 is when I really got involved with ministry. And in 2006, I was leading a youth group. Probably had about 12 kids, nothing big. And there were some issues that happened in the church, and I decided, you know what, I'm going to leave. And so I stepped out. Then, a couple years later, a year and a half later, I ended up getting involved again, and didn't want to, but the Lord pulled me back into ministry. And I started with a church plant. Started within our pastor's home, moved from Bible study to to renting a gym to hold services. And then at that point, we were given a building, and the church started to develop in different ministries and started to grow. And then it got to a point where ministry was no longer what I felt was going in the way that I felt that the Lord was calling the ministry to go. So I stepped out again. Then I decided, you know what? And we still stayed going to church. That wasn't, you know, that wasn't an option, because my heart really was, you know, to really please God, which I believe is all of our hearts, is to really do what God has, you know, desires for our life. Decided to go back to school and finish my bachelor's, because I'm on the 15-year program. Seems like it's never ending, but, you know, but when you have a family, kids, and having to work full time and having to find time for, you know, for school, it could be difficult. And that's when I decided to make a life change. And I had two options, actually, before coming to Barclay. I had applied for Department of Corrections in California, and I was, usually it takes about a year and a half to get through the whole process. Well, they fast-tracked me to get it done in 3 months. The same day that I got accepted here is the exact same day that I got a letter in the mail stating that I was accepted into the Department of Corrections, and for me to pick three locations that I desired to go to. And after submitting that, within 48 hours, they would get back to me to let me know when I would be going for training for corrections. So I had a choice, a difficult choice. One, make $60,000 to $80,000 a year and work, provide for my family, or to pursue my passion and my goal in life, and to do something that was pleasing for God. Not saying that I wouldn't be able to do that while I was in corrections, but I had a point in my life where it's like, wow, there's a fork in the road, and I have to decide. And as you all know, I'm here. And being here allowed me to get back into ministry again. And this is when I knew that the Lord was calling me towards pastoral ministry. Because I've tried to walk away. I've tried to say no to God, but he keeps on putting me right back into the very thing that I personally did not want to get into. Isn't it amazing what God will do with you if you just have the obedience and willingness to actually listen and hear his voice? We have to have zeal when we're speaking the word of God. How many of you have dealt with youth recently? There's two major elements that they really gets them going. One, they like video games, right? So anything that is visual. And they like their iPods. Have you ever had to confiscate an iPod? I have. Yeah. You want to see someone turn a complete 180 in less than 5 seconds? Take away their iPod. So they're audible learners as well. Not saying that we have to change and transform the way that we minister to these kids, but we have to do it in a way that really grabs their attention. And I'm not just talking about youth, I'm talking about us as well, adults. Because the very same thing is now, those adults that have these teenagers and these kids are now adapting to their environment. Because I'm a parent, and I don't know how many of you are, but as a parent, we want to please our kids, and we want to do everything for our kids. That's what we live our life for. It's God, it's family and ministry in my books. So if I'm pleasing God, the next stage is my family. So the heart of transforming the way we minister to people is to really do it in a way that we could captivate the majority instead of just the elite few that we're ministering to. That is much of what Joshua did. What he did was he said, let's get out of here. Let's go forth. So for the better good, he took the Israelites into the promised land. That's what we have to do today. But we have to do it with passion and with zeal. We have to have the joy in doing it. We have to have that excitement. If anyone should be able to celebrate, it should be us. Because we have the opportunity to celebrate eternal life. We have the ultimate gift. We should be bringing the best wine to the party. Now, I don't mean that bring wine and bring your... Anyways. What I'm saying is that we should be bringing the joy of the Lord to every situation. We should be bubbly. We should be joyful at all times. Why? Because the joy of the Lord is what? Our strength. That is the attitude in which we need to position ourselves intentionally to be effective. I know that all of us in here today have a passion and desire to do the Lord's work in some form. Even if you're a psychology major, even if you're an education major, you're still impacting lives. Now, I want to close with something that it's a devotion that I came across recently. And it made me think. It reads, God is calling us to take our proper position in his kingdom. You cannot do this as long as you remain self-focused and interested in looking good and finding acceptance. Our position has to do exclusively with having an honest and vital relationship with God in the Spirit. It is up to us to awaken ourselves spiritually in order to become all that God has destined us to be. And the scripture that it gave was John 3:6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Let's position ourselves to be in his kingdom and to grow his kingdom. It's very vital. Another statistic that I came across was that the fastest growing religion right now is the Muslim faith. That's alarming. We could do better than that. God desires us to do better than that. So let's go forth into our passions and into our callings. Let's be obedient to God, and let's do it with zeal. I don't think he wants us to do it any other way. I want to thank you guys for allowing me to speak this morning, and I pray that this message will give you an insight into launching a Joshua generation.
Grace and peace. You're dismissed.